Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
I love it when God gives me confirmation of something that I wanted to come and speak to you about on my podcast in the readings, and He did that today. So we are going to talk about governing our senses, and we're specifically going to talk about our eyes and our sight and what we see and what we look at. But first, we're going to read the reading. It's a little long, but bear with me. It's the book of Daniel, chapter 13, and it ties exactly to if they governed their sight, this probably wouldn't have happened. Although in the end, they are evil by root, because they came from the Canaanites. In Babylon, there lived a man named Joachim, who married a very beautiful and God-fearing woman, Susanna, the daughter of Hilkiah. Her pious parents had trained their daughter according to the law of Moses. Joachim was very rich. He had a garden near his house, and the Jews had recourse to him often because he was the most respected of them all. That year, two elders of the people were appointed judges, of whom the Lord said, "Wickedness has come out of Babylon from the elders who were to govern the people as judges." So God's calling out these wicked people who are appointed judges. These men, to whom all brought their cases, frequented the house of Joachim. When the people left at noon, Susanna used to enter her husband's garden for a walk. When the old men saw her enter every day for her walk, they began to lust for her. They suppressed their consciences. They would not allow their eyes to look to heaven and did not keep in mind just judgments. Look, right here he says they wouldn't allow their eyes to look to heaven. We're going to talk about this when we're done. Instead, they looked lustfully at Susanna. One day, while they were waiting for the right moment, she entered the garden as usual with two maids only. She decided to bathe, for the weather was warm. Nobody else was there except the two elders, who had hidden themselves and were watching her with their eyes. "Bring me soap and oil," she said to the maids, "and shut the garden doors while I bathe." As soon as the maids left, the two old men got up and hurried to her. "Look," they said, "the garden doors are shut and no one can see us. Give in to our desire and lie with us. If you refuse, we will testify against you that you dismissed your maids because a young man was here with you." "I am completely trapped," Susanna groaned. "If I yield, it will be my death. If I refuse, I cannot escape your power. Yet it is better for me to fall into your power without guilt than to sin before the Lord." "Amen, Susanna. She takes the high road, the godly road." Then Susanna shrieked, and the old men also shouted at her as one of them ran into the open garden doors. When the people in the house heard the cries from the garden, they rushed in by the side gate to see what had happened to her. At the accusations by the old men, the servants felt very ashamed, for never had any such thing been said about Susanna, this beautiful, holy woman. That's what I said. That isn't in the Bible. When the wicked people came to her husband, Joachim, the next day, the two wicked elders also came, fully determined to put Susanna to death. Before all the people they ordered, send Susanna, the daughter of Hilkiah, the wife of Joachim. When she was sent for, she came with her parents, children, and all her relatives. All of her relatives and the onlookers were weeping. In the midst of the people, the two elders rose up and laid their hands on her head. Through tears, she looked up to heaven. Look at her eyes are going to heaven. For she trusted in the Lord wholeheartedly. The elders made this accusation. As we were walking in the garden alone, this woman entered with two girls and shut the doors of the garden, dismissing the girls. A young man who was hidden there came and lay with her. When we, in the corner of a garden, saw this crime, we ran toward them. We saw them lying together, but the man we could not hold because he was stronger than us. He opened the doors and ran off. Then we seized her and asked her who the young man was, but she refused to tell us. We testify to this. Liars! The assembly believed them, since they were elders and judges of the people, and they condemned her to death. Let this be a lesson to all of us that we do not have to believe people who are in high, prominent positions. Can the thing that's been happening the last 3 years since 2020 open your eyes here? And by that thing, I mean the Great Awakening. The veil is being pulled off as to who are the evil people in this world. Okay, back to the Bible. But Susanna cried aloud, "O eternal God, you know what is hidden and are aware of all things before they come to be. You know that they have testified falsely against me. Here I am about to die, though I have done none of these things with which these wicked men have charged me." The Lord heard her prayer. As she was being led to execution, God stirred up the Holy Spirit of a young boy named Daniel, and he cried aloud, "I will have no part in the death of this woman." All the people turned and asked him, "What is this that you are saying?" He stood in their midst and continued, Are you such fools, O children of Israel, to condemn a woman of Israel without examination and without clear evidence? Return to court, for they have testified falsely against her." Then all the people returned in haste. To Daniel the elder said, "Come, sit with us and inform us, since God has given you the prestige of old age." But he replied, "Separate these two far from each other, that I may examine them." After they were separated from one another, he called one of them and said, "How have you grown evil with age? Now have your past sins come to term, passing unjust sentences, condemning the innocent, and freeing the guilty? Although the Lord says, 'The innocent and the just you shall not put to death.' Now then, if you were a witness, tell me under what tree you saw them together." "Under a mastic tree," he answered. Daniel replied, "If your fine lie has cost you your head, for the angel of God shall receive the sentence from him and split you in two." Putting him to one side, he ordered the other one to be brought. Daniel said to him, "Offspring of Canaan, not of Judah, beauty has seduced you. Lust has subverted your conscience." Okay, let's think about this. He's a man of Canaan. The Canaanites are an evil bloodline. It goes back to Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel because he was jealous of God's favor with him. "This is how you acted with the daughters of Israel, and in fear that they yielded to you. But a daughter of Judah did not tolerate your wickedness. Now then," okay, let me go back. "This is how you acted with the daughters of Israel," meaning that they've taken advantage of many other girls like this. "And in their fear, they yielded to you," he says. "But a daughter of Judah did not tolerate your wickedness," meaning she was truly obedient to God. "Now then, tell me under what tree you surprised them together." "Under an oak," he said. Daniel replied, "Your fine lie has cost you also your head, for the angel of God waits with a sword to cut you in two, so as to make an end to both of you." Bottom line, those two were put to death and Susanna went free. It all started with their eyes, that they were looking at her, following her, watching her creepily with lust. Do you remember in the Bible, God, it's Jesus himself, who is God, says, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So what does it mean to govern our senses of our eyes? This all came to me on Saturday. I went to a bar where my brother was playing. Him and another guy were playing music for a couple of hours. And I was watching people. I'm sitting in the corner. I'm just watching a bunch of drunk, loud people. And a lot of people were wearing scantily dressed. I mean, they were dressed scantily. Maybe I should say it that way. In other words, super, super tight clothes, bellies showing, you know, like half tops. And some of these people probably shouldn't be wearing some of those things, in my opinion. No judgment. I'm just looking at, wow, my eyes are seeing these things and I'm thinking lustful thoughts about them. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that woman in those clothes. And I was like checking out her body. I wasn't lusting after her body, but I was looking at her in ways that I shouldn't be. And I was thinking, my gosh, I can't imagine men who are looking at this person wearing these tight clothes and showing a lot of their skin. And I'm not going there and saying that women bring it on themselves, but I'm also saying that we should not dress in a way that makes other people lust after us. This was one that I didn't really even think about. I used to push my boobs up and have cleavage shown back in the day because that was the only thing that I was proud about people looking at. Now, I didn't have half my boobs showing, but you could see cleavage. And now that I look back, I think, oh gosh, what was I doing? What was I thinking doing that? Cheapening myself and showing things that, you know, God wants for just a husband for me, you know? Like, I mean, now it's so different. But then I was just following what the trends were, what people were doing, you know, and I didn't want people to look at my butt, my big butt, so I wanted them to go to my boobs. But I should have covered it all up. And I was walking the next day, and there was a man that was wearing like those short shorts, you know? I don't know why those are coming back. Probably because it's all evil and let's show as much skin as we possibly can. I mean, these things were like way up. And he had great legs. Now, it's okay to look at a person and appreciate their beauty for a moment. But when you're like looking at them and lustfully, but I wasn't looking at this guy lustfully. I was just like, wow, those legs are huge. So I kept looking. And then I just turned around like, wait, God? And I looked up to heaven, literally brought my eyes up there. Didn't know I'd be reading that in the Bible today. But I said, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm sorry for objectifying this man. Like, oh, please govern my senses. This is what we should be praying about. So let's think about our eyes. How do you look at people? Are you checking them out? Are you lustfully looking at them? And if that happens, turn away. Move your eyes. Remember, if your eyes cause you to sin, pluck it out. Doesn't mean literally, but do something about it. Don't continue to go down that path. I think about myself when I was watching Days of Our Lives. I recorded that thing since I was 12, and I don't know how many years ago it was, seven, eight years ago, I realized how bad that soap opera was for me, because all it was cheating, adultery, you know, stealing and lying, and there wasn't anything good in there. So what I was watching was not helping me be a more virtuous person. So what are you watching? And it could be something that you think is totally innocent. But if you're watching murder movies, if you're watching video games that are killing people left and right, if you're watching any kind of, show that practically has soft porn in it, where there's a lot of nudity, a lot of sex, a lot of sex out of marriage. These things impact our soul. They do. And they desensitize us to sex. And what about those crazy horror films and things that are like witchcraft? And they even have a show right now, I think that's called Evil. There is so much out there that we should be protecting our eyes from, because it does matter. It does impact our spirit and our soul. And let's not forget about pornography. You will never be able to unsee something. It just isn't going to happen. Although I shouldn't say that. I take that back. The Holy Spirit can heal your memory, can change your memory, can erase your memory. I ask all the time to take away all of the pornography that I have watched in my life, because it does appear at the most horrific times, like while I'm sitting staring at Jesus on the cross in Mass. Evil has access to our memory, and these memories can be used in our dreams, they can be used in our lives, they can be used to taunt us and to seduce us into doing horrible sins. I was just watching an interview with Zachary King. Not sure if you know who that is, but he is a former high witch and one of the highest in the satanic cult that he was in. And at 10, 11 years old, when he was messing around with these satanic people, they were having sex with one another at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. And they were recording it. They were also on drugs. They had every kind of paraphernalia and every kind of drug that they would ever want. And then when they're under the influence, they would say, okay, you're ready to have sex. And then they would record them. And unfortunately, Zachary never thought that any adult would be looking at that. And that was what they did. When they got together, they did a bunch of drugs, and then they had sex, and these satanic adults that were recruiting these kids, and other kids were recruiting kids too because they didn't know any better, they were all being recorded for some perverted, evil people who wanted to watch that. Remember, if you are watching pornography, that a lot of those people are not there on their own will, or they don't know why they're being recorded. And do you know that they're all drugged up and they're being used for money, money, money? Okay, let's also talk about, what are you reading? I know some of us watch news, and I say news in quotes, that can make us very angry or make us fearful and not have hope and trust in God that He's going to take care of us. So stop watching those things that bring you into those states, into those emotional feelings of anger, of fear, of anxiety, of worry. And get away from those smutty magazines. Man, I used to just sit and get a pedicure and a manicure every week. Yes, this is the waste of money that I used to do. Every week, and I would sit and be so excited to look at those dumb tabloid magazines like Us, or maybe even in The Inquirer, and just catch up on all the gossip that was all lies anyway. I mean, just so stupid. I just filled my mind with stupid stuff. Let's also think about stupid programs, stupid TV. The Kardashians I used to watch all the time, anything that was on E! Entertainment television. We should be watching and listening. Actually, we're talking about the eyes. We should be watching things that help us grow in virtue and in the spiritual life. And you may think, well, gosh, I can't watch this show with my husband, because that was a big one for me. My husband and I loved 2 and a Half Men. And I would still watch it, but I would pray when, you know, some scantily dressed person was there, or there would be a sex scene or something, and I would look at my husband and I'd be like, look away. You know, like, I don't want you to see this stuff either. You should only be looking at me half naked, you know, nothing else. And he understood that. But he did say to me, well, what, I'm never going to be able to watch a movie that shows boobs or anything? And I'm like, well, you know, I'd like you not to, you know. It was very uncomfortable for me. But in my state of life, I just prayed through it. And I would tell my husband, you know, that does kind of make me uncomfortable. Or look away, or I'd look at him and he'd look at me and I'm like, okay, just look at me right now. Like, don't look at the TV where the movie is or the show is or whatever. Ah, thank you, God, for helping me govern my eyes and making me realize that what I see, what I look at, what I put into my eyes is going to impact my actions, my thoughts, my words. So let's govern the senses of our eyes. Let's pray about this. If you are watching pornography, I will repeat, rinse and repeat. This is a mortal sin. This is probably like the most objectifying thing that you can do to a human being. And if you are married, the worst thing that you can do for your marriage. Even if your wife or husband isn't all into sex and you're all into it. Like, I was addicted to porn, and eventually I realized, oh my goodness, this is not good for me. And I confessed it to my husband, and he asked me, he wasn't happy, right? And he's like, oh my gosh, is this why we're not having sex? God wants you to have a beautiful intimacy with your spouse. And if you are watching other people, don't you think that that is going to impact your ability not only to love your spouse, but I can guarantee you that you are going to have porn flicks shown in your mind. I did. Or if you're having an adulterous affair with someone, you're going to have that other person flip into your mind while you are making love with your husband. I've had that happen to me too. This is where evil uses those memories to damage our relationships. Remember, two things that Satan wants to do: keep you sinning and ruin every relationship in your life. Most importantly, the one that is your family, your spouse, and you. I really want everyone to pray on, what are you looking at? How are you looking at things and people and TV and entertainment? Because it does impact your soul. Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, into our eyes, and take the scales off. Help us see what we are seeing, and to pluck out our eye if it is not good, to change our behavior, to move away, to be aware of when we look at things and people differently, not purely, and help us all to govern our senses. Help us realize that what we see can damage our soul, can ruin the Spirit of God within us. Lord, we are going to take a moment and pray for all of the holy souls in purgatory by name. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, a sinner, now and at the hour of my death. Amen. Mary, please take our left hand. Holy Spirit, take our right. guardian angel, guide us and lead us, protect us, and help us get to know you more so that we can ask for your help throughout the day. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, I just can't seem to pray the whole Hail Mary all the way through the right way. I was trying to train myself to do it the other day, and I just keep mixing it up. But I think for me, it's good, because sometimes I'm praying in my own house by myself. It seems weird to pray for us when I'm really just me. And it keeps me on my toes. All right, everyone, I love you all so much. Govern your eyes. Pray. Lord, what is it that you do not want me to see anymore? I love you. Have a blessed and inspired day.